Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesuvos Daf Chav Beis. We begin at the Mishnah about a third of the way down. Learning today, Leila Nishmas, Anna Tabachnik, Chana Bas Ben Sihon. All the Nishamas you learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We're also learning today for Refuah Shleimer, for Itamar Tzvi Ben Devorah Esther, someone from the shul who unfortunately was diagnosed with cancer. Mitzvah Shem, you should have a Refuah Shleimer, Ben Heira B'Sol Shar Chola Yisrael. Okay, we begin on Chof Beis Amud Aleph by the Mishnah about a third of the way down. The Mishnah starts and tells us, if a woman claims, she comes to us and says, nobody knows that she was, but she says she was a married woman, but my husband divorced me, and again I'm a Pnuya. So we had no independent knowledge that this woman was in fact a married woman, and therefore she is believed because Nemenesh HaPesha Osar HuHaPesha Shehita. This goes in accord with what we've been learning the last couple of days, the last couple of Mishnayis, that if a woman is the one that tells us something that was Asar, such as that she was an Eishes Ish, so therefore she would be Asura to all the people in the world other than her husband. But then she's believed to say, but I was divorced, and now I'm Mutter, I'm a Pnuya to other people as well. Fine. So this is, again, a classic example of Pesha Asar, Pesha Hita, because we had no independent knowledge that the woman was married. However, but if we do have independent knowledge that she was a married woman, so then she loses her Pesha Asar, Pesha Hita, Heter. And therefore, if there are witnesses that say that she was an Eishes Ish, so then, if she tells us, but I'm Gerusha, V'yomeres Gerusha, and I was divorced, Eino Nemenes. We don't believe her in this situation. Likewise, the second part of the Mishnah tells us an almost identical situation. If the woman says, Ramanish Basi, the woman says she was never captured by a band of armed robbers. She was captured by horrible people. And the presumption is that Nebuch, a woman that's captured by these people, is going to be assaulted. She's going to be raped. Rahman al-Utslan. But we had no independent knowledge that she was captured. So she tells us, I was captured, however, Utarini, but they didn't touch me. I am, in fact, not assaulted by these people. So then, Nemenes, she's believed, again, because she had Pesha Asa, Pesha Hita. She is believed in this situation because we had no independent knowledge that she was a captive, and therefore, there's no reason for us not to believe her when she says, yes, I was captured, but no, I wasn't assaulted. And Tahorani, and I'm able to still marry a Kohen. Because of the Pesha Asa, Pesha Hita, Heter. However, if we do have Nebuch independent proof that she was captured, v'meish edim shenish space, so even though she says, v'yomeres tarni, that I wasn't assaulted, einan emenes, we're not allowed to believe her in this situation, she's psula to marry a Kohen. But, the Mishnah tells us, v'yem mishenises bo edim, if she was the one that first told us, Pesha Asa, Pesha Hita, nobody knew that she was captured, she says, I was captured, but I was tahora, and we said, in that situation, she's Nemenes, and she's allowed to go and get married to a Kohen, and now she went and got married to a Kohen. Bimishani says, after she's married, only then Boedim, to say that she was a captive. So then, Harezu lo seitze. In this situation, she doesn't have to leave her husband, the Kohen. Now, I just read this as if this last part of the Mishnah was going on the second part of the Mishnah. In the Gemara, we'll have a discussion, however, does this go only on the second part of the Mishnah, or does this go back onto the first part of the Mishnah as well? That this is true. In Mishanisei's Boedim, it would apply to the woman who was a Grusha as well. So we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss that. Gemara starts off now and tells us, I'm a Ravasi. Ravasi tells us, where's the source in the Torah for this heter of Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter? So we bring down from the following, Shenemar, as Bitin Osaiti Lishazel Isha. When a woman, Rachmon Litzlan, is being accused of not being a Besula. So the father says, no, I gave you a Besula. I gave you my daughter a Besula. And it turns out that this person was lying. He was Motzi Shemra on this woman. So then the Torah tells us there's two penalties that are applicable in this situation. Number one, there's a fine of 100 shekel. And number two, he's never allowed to divorce her unless she wants to be divorced. Then he's allowed to divorce her with her permission. But he can't divorce her without her permission. Now, nowadays, you can't divorce a person without their permission. But in those days, Binat Torah, you could divorce a wife without her willing to be divorced. But in this situation, the Torah gave a knas that he can't divorce the woman if she doesn't wish to be divorced. In any event, in this situation, where the father says, I gave my daughter over to this man, and now he's claiming that she's not a Besula. So he says, Lo ish asara. As soon as the father over here says, I gave my daughter to a man, so therefore, at this point in time, she's asura to all the people in the world, because we don't know who her husband is yet. When he says, hazeh, when he says, to this man, so then he tira. So in that situation, she's now permissible to her husband. This is a classical example of Pesha Asar. The father said, I asur her to all the men in the world, but then he said, except for Lo ish hazeh, to this man who I gave her to as his wife. So therefore, this is the Torah's source of Hapesh Asa, Hapesh Ita. Because Lo'ish Asara, when he uses the Lashon of Lo'ish, it means to all the men in the world, he asered her, because one of them is her husband, but he doesn't say which one. But when he says Hazeh, so then that permits her to this man. Of course, she's still Asa to all the men in the world. Gemara says, wait a second, why do we need a Pasuk? Shouldn't this be a Svara? Lama likra, svarahi. It should be so obvious, a rational argument could be made over here, that of course, he's the one that set up the condition, so why can't he qualify it and say, yes, I married her off to this person. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Any situation of a pesh asa, pesh iter, should be a svara that should be allowed. Hu asara, hu sharila. The person who said this is in fact an iser can also therefore say that this now, however, is a heter. You don't need a pasuk for pesh asa, pesh iter. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella. What are we talking about over here? Ki itzdrich kra. What do we need this pasuk for then? If you don't need a pasuk to teach me pesh asa, pesh iter, so what is this pasuk by the Motzi Shemra, as biti nosati lishazeh liisha? What do we need that pasuk for then? If it's not for pesh asa, pesh iter, like we just said, that could be learned out from the Svara, then what's the purpose of this pasuk? So that's what the Rav Huna Amar Rav says we need the pasuk. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav minayin la'av shenem unless or es bito mina Torah. How do we know that a father is believed to asur his daughter by saying he married her off? And in that situation, she's forbidden to marry any other man in the world. How do we believe? How do we know that that's true? Because the pasuk tells us shenemar SBT nosati lo'ish. Because the first part of the pasuk says that the father is believed to say that he married off his daughter. Again, he's only allowed to marry off his daughter while she's a katana or while she's a nara. He can't marry her off while she's a bogaris. Midaraisi, he can marry off his daughter even if she's a katana or a nara. So what do we need then the word hazeh? Nosati lo'ish hazeh. Lomali, what do we need the word hazeh for? So the Gemara says, we need that for what Rav Yonah taught us. What did Rav Yonah teach us? The Tani Rav Yonah, we learn from Rav Yonah the following brisa. SBT nosati luish hazeh, hazeh comes to teach us for loli yavam. And if you look in Rashi, Dibra Maskev, loli yavam, he explains, im hotzi shem ra, al nisue achiv, if, in fact, Reuven married Rachel, and Reuven dies, he never consummated the marriage, and now Reuven's brother Shimon takes Rachel in Yibam. And now Shimon says, Motzi Shemra, he says that she wasn't a Basula when in fact she was. So this Pasuk, Lo'ish Hazeh, only tells us that this din of Motzi Shemra with the Knas of 100 and the requirement that he can never divorce her if she doesn't wish to be divorced, that only applies to the first husband, it wouldn't apply to the Yavam. As Rashi says, Shena Yavam Nidon Ki Motzi Shemra, Leonish Mimea Kasef, she wouldn't have the penalty of 100 Kasef. And, as well, he wouldn't have the ability to not divorce her if he wished to. He would be allowed to divorce her. Mark continues and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following braisa, Ha'isha she'amra eishas ishani. If a woman says that I'm an eishas ish, so then she's believed. She's an eishas ish. She would be usher to marry somebody else. But then she changes her mind. And not tok kedei dibur. If she says tok kedei dibur, so then the rules of tok kedei dibur apply. If you say something and you retract it within the amount of time that it says to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or according to one opinion, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori, so then that's called a retraction qualification of what you said and not a new statement. But normally, if a person says something and then longer than a Tok Kedei Dibur replies, then we don't allow them to retract what they said. But here, this woman says originally, Eishas Ish Ani, and then she says, V'chazra, at a later point in time, V'yamra Penuya Ani, no, I'm not an Eishas Ish, I'm actually a Penuya. Nemenis, the Brisa says she's Nemenis. So it says, how could that possibly be? When the woman first stated she's an Eishas Ish, she essentially said, I'm also to every single man in the world except my husband. So how could she suddenly be a Penuya and be mutter to every single person in the world other than her husband if they wish to marry her? So I'm a Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna tells us this is dealing over here with something called an Amasla. An Amasla is an explanation for the seeming contradiction in what she said. A very good explanation for what she said. Kigon, the Gemara says, Rav Bar Huna says, Kigon shenosta maslo l'dvarel. She gives a very good reason, an explanation for why she originally said Eishas Ish Ani, and then she said I'm a Penuya, and was supposed to disregard her saying I'm an Eishas Ish, and believe when she says now that she's a Penuya. So what is an example of an Amasla? We'll see in a moment in the Gemara a good example. But first, since Rav Bar Rav Huna is an Amora, what the Gemara tells us, Tanya Nami Yach, we have a Braisa that supports what this Amora said. I haven't said this in a long time. always worthwhile to repeat, Tani Nami Yochi is only going to be found when we have a Braisa in support of what an Amora says, because the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. That's why we never find Tanan Nami Yochi, but the Amoraim didn't necessarily know all the Braises, and that's why when an Amora makes a statement on his own, if there is Tanaic support to it, the Gemara will always say Tani Nami Yochi. And that's what we have, will be a Braisa that says exactly like what Rav Bar Rav Huna said. The Braisa says, Omer Eishes Ishani, the Chazri Omer Pinuyani, if a woman first states that she's an Eishes Ish, and then subsequently she retracts at a later point in time, not Tochid Dibur, and she says at a later point in time, I'm actually a Penuya, ain't a Nemenis. The Braisa says she's not believed. Now that goes against what Rav Bar Rav Huna said, but then the Braisa qualifies it, and it says, however, V'imnosna Amasla, but if she gave it, it's a very good explanation for why she's changed her status, why she said originally I was an Eishes Ish, and now she says, but I'm really a Penuya, and she gives a good explanation for why she said she was an Eishes Ish. So then, imnosna amasla devareha nemenes, exactly like Rav Bar Rav Huna says, that there's a good reason as to why she changed her mind, so to say, as to why she can now say, originally I wasn't telling you 100% correct, and now I am telling you correct, if there's a good reason to explain this, we believe her. Such as the following maisa. This is the classical example of an amasla. So the Gemara records the following maisa. Umaisa nami, that once was such a maisa shahoya, b'isha achas. Now the girsa that we have is gedola. Now, gedola normally we mean that she wasn't a katana, that she was above the age of bas mitzvah. But most of the mefarshim say over here that this word means over here chashuva, that she's an important woman. Others, like the Tosus Rid on our daf and the Riv, don't have the girsa that this woman was isha achas gedola. They just have the next words, b'isha achas gedola binoy. We have the girsa isha achas gedola shahaisa gedola binoy. Others just have the girsa shahaisa gedola binoy. In other words, she was an extremely gorgeous young lady. She was a beautiful young woman. And therefore, not surprisingly, and this is not necessarily a positive thing, but all the young men wanted to marry her. Again, Sheker Achein, Behevel Ayofi, is not something that is easily put into practice. It should be, but it's not. And many young men, they only want to marry a pretty girl. So a lot of people were willing to be married to her. They offered her Kiddushin. But she was sick and tired of people just wanting to marry her because she was a beautiful young lady. And these people weren't appropriate for her. So therefore, the Armulahem Mikudesh Asani. So she told them, no, I'm married, and therefore I can't accept the Kiddush from you, and they left her alone. No, a while later, Liyamim, a little bit later on, Amdav Kishas Asmo, an appropriate Chasin came to her and courted her, and she accepted his Kiddush. So the Chacham said to Amlu Chacham, what happened? You're a married lady. Maris Lassos came. How could you accept Kiddush when you claimed you were a married lady? So here's where the Amasla comes in. Here's where the good explanation comes in. So she told the Chacham in Armulahem, Bitchila, originally, Shabor Layanoshim Shainam Mehuganim, Amarti Mikudesh Asani. Originally, when all these inappropriate people trying to marry me just for my beauty came to me, none of them were really good people, so I told them that I was Mikudesh, so they'd stop bothering me. Everybody wanted to marry me because I'm beautiful. But, Akshab, now, I finally have Baruch Hashem, a person who's appropriate, a nice person, Shabor Layanoshim Mehuganim. Now, this nice person, or even several nice people who wanted to marry her. So now she accepted the best offer. Amarati v'kidashti esasmi. I went and got married. So the reason why she originally said she was mikudeshes was to stop all these inappropriate offers of marriage that were being given to her. And subsequently, when she did get an appropriate offer, she said, yes, I'm a penuya and I accept your offer. And they therefore, the Chacham said, is this allowed? V'zu halacha hella Rav Acha Sara Bira. So they questioned, is this allowed what this woman did? Do we allow her to say that she's now a penuya after she said she was mikudeshes? So Rav Acha Sara Bira, Rashi, later in the Masechta on Peches Omer Alev, tells us that Sara Bira was his nickname. Kach Kinuyov, Rashi says. And it means the officer of the Bira, the officer of the government, the officer of the capital city. In other words, Rav Acha was a very chosh of a guy. So Rav Acha went, Lefnei Chacham and Biyushi, went to the Sanhedrin in Usha. Sanhedrin was twice in the city of Usha in the 10 travels that the Sanhedrin had. So I don't know for sure that this was a Sanhedrin in Usha. Could have been just Chachamim in Usha, but I'm assuming that it probably was the Sanhedrin in Usha. So he went to ask the Shaila, can we believe this woman with her Amasla? So the Sanhedrin of the Chachamim in Usha said, Imnos na Amasla, if in fact she gave a good explanation, Lidvarel, for her words, why she said originally I was a married woman. And then she said, no, I'm really a Penuya. So then this is perfectly acceptable. What she did was taka, a very smart thing, and she would be permissible to go and marry the new Chosin that wants to marry her. Similarly, we have the same idea. Boy mine Shmuel mirav. Shmuel, who was subordinate to Rav, they were bali plukta, they're great chaverim and amarayim with each other. But Shmuel was subordinate to Rav, and he would ask Rav a question. So Amr tmei ani. So Shmuel asked Rav, what happens if a woman tells her husband that she was tmei, that she was an ida, and then before the 7 days would be up, before the Zayinikim would be up, before whatever the situation was, that the Tumah should have been up, the Chazviyama, she changed her mind and told her husband, no, Tahorani. So do we or do we not say that this isn't a masla, mahu? Mori asked, is this or is this not also falling into the category of a masla? So Omar Lay, so Rav says to Shmuel, Afizu, even in this situation, and Tosos at the very top of Chabez on the base says, when he says Apizu, he's saying that even in this situation, we do apply the din of Amasla, Im Nosla, we turn to Chabez on the base, Im Nosla, Amasla, Divarela, if the woman can give us a good reason, a good explanation for why she changed her mind, why she was originally saying I'm Tmeya, and now she's saying I'm Tahora, so then Ne'amenes, just like we said by the woman who said that she was an Eish HaSish, and then she said no, she was really a Penuya, she gave us a good reason because of the inappropriate suitors, so to over here. If the wife can give a good explanation as to why she said she was originally Tmeya, when she really wasn't, and now she says I'm really Tahora, we believe her. So Shmuel was very impressed with this din from Rav, and Tonimine Araboyin Zimnin, he learned it from Rav 40 times, but nevertheless, Afilu Hochi, Ovat Shmuel Uvda Benavshe. Shmuel didn't put this into practice in his own situation with his own wife. Once his wife, as we'll see in a second, told him that she was Tmei, as Rashi says over here, Pamachas Omra Lo Ishto, Shmuel's wife told him, Chayin, this same exact thing that she was Tmei, and the next day she told him she was Tahora, v'nosna amas l'dvarah, and she gave a good explanation as to why she originally told him she was Tmei, and now she's telling him she's Tahora, and nevertheless, Shmuel pirish hemena ad shetovla. Shmuel did not accept this, and he didn't have relations with her until she went to the mikvah, and was 100% tar. He went lifnei mishur hasadin. He didn't want to accept the amasla, even though halachically he could have. Now, what was the maisa with his wife? So Tosis tells us in Dira Masa Vafilu, he says Rabbeinu Chanan Levi Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Chanan brings down the Yerushalmi that Shmuel ba liyizdakuke liyisasei. Shmuel wished to have relations with his wife, and Armulei, and she told him tmeyani. She told him she was an ida. She was tmeya. But the next day, Lamach Armur Tarini, she said, I'm Tahora. Now, there was no Zayin Akim, there was not the right amount of time that could have passed. She didn't go to the mikvah. So, Om Allah, he said to her, I don't understand. Esmo Tmeya, Yoma Dein Tahora? How could you have been Tmeya yesterday and today you're Tahora? So, Om Allah, she said to him, Anamasla. She said to him the following very, very good explanation. Esmo Lohavis Bi Chela. Yesterday, I didn't have the strength, I didn't have the ability to have relations with you. And now I do. So therefore, yesterday I gave you a white lie and said, I have a headache, honey, when she really was capable of having relations with him, but she just didn't want to. So also Shaila Rav. That's what caused Shmuel to ask Rav this Shaila. And Amalei, Im Nosna Masla Devarel Nemenes. And Rav told him, yes, you are in fact allowed to rely upon this Amasla. But nevertheless, Shmuel was machmer on himself. He went lifnei mishur hasadin, and he didn't have relations with his wife until she went to the mikvah. Now, in the Shita Mekubetzes, he brings down the Ritva. And he said that she had some sort of a mechush, his wife, Shmuel's wife, had something that made intercourse very painful, something we call dyspareunia. And that's why she didn't want to have relations with him, because it was actually very painful to her. But then, Baruch Hashem, whatever it was, it healed, it got better, and therefore, now she was telling him, now today I can have relations with him. The Shita Mekubetzes then brings down a different pshat. He doesn't like this Ritva because he says, then, why didn't she tell him? She could have just said, I don't feel well. She could have said something rather than make up the story of Tmeani. So he doesn't like the idea that she would make up something if it wasn't really true. So instead, he says that Shmuel had sent her a koshel bracha. Now, a koshel bracha, you normally only send to a woman, she'll only drink from it, if in those days she was Tahora. And she normally would take it if she was Tahora and wouldn't take it if she was Tmeya. So Shmuel had sent her the koshel bracha, but for some reason she didn't want to take it at that point. It brings down some covet for Shmuel's brother. I'm not exactly sure what the story was, but the Shita says that she didn't accept the kosh, even though she was Tahora. So Shmuel thought she was there for Tmeya. So the next day she tells him, no, I'm really Tahora, but no, Shmuel insists that she wait Zayin Akim in that situation before she would go to the mikvah and he would be able to go and have relations again with his wife. In any event, Shmuel went lifnei mishur hasadin. The bottom line is, we do and accept an amasla. This is very, very, very important when it comes to a woman who is losing her cheskas kashrus. If a woman says, for example, that she's tahora to her husband, then it turns out that she didn't go to the mikveh, that's a very, very, very difficult situation to deal with, because now the woman lost her cheskas kashrus, and every time that she needs to go to the mikveh, she's going to have witnesses there, and she's going to have all sorts of arrangements to make sure that, in fact, she has proof that she went to the mikveh because she lost the cheskas kashrus. So under certain situations, if there was an amasla, if there was a good reason as to why she didn't tell the whole truth, so then sometimes this can get you out of problems. But again, it's very, very important for there to be honesty between a husband and a wife, so you shouldn't have any of these situations coming up. Gemara continues and quotes the following braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Omrim Meis. Two witnesses come and say that a certain man passed away. So therefore, his wife is now considered a widow and she can go remarry. But two other witnesses come along, Shnayim Omrim, two other witnesses come along and say, Lo Meis. No, he's not dead. Or, alternatively, Shnayim Omrim Niskarsha, Shnayim Omrim Lo Niskarsha. The same thing would apply if two witnesses came along and said a woman's divorced, but two other witnesses deny that and say, no, she's not divorced. So what's the halacha? So l'chatchila, the braisa says, harei zu lo sinase. In either of these two cases, she can't go get married because you have two witnesses saying that her husband's alive, two witnesses saying that her husband didn't divorce her. So you just can't ignore those two witnesses. So l'chatchila, we don't allow her to get married. But if she, in fact, went and got married, vim nises lo teitse. If, in fact, she did go get married, we'll see in a moment, this, according to the Tanakhama, is even if she got married when the other witnesses had said, no, your husband's alive, or the other witnesses said, your husband didn't divorce you. But since she was relying upon those two witnesses that said that the husband was dead or the husband did divorce you, so this woman, according to the Tanakhama, is allowed to stay married if she did get married. But Rav Menachem Bar Yossi disagrees. Rav Menachem Bar Yossi says it will depend. Rav Menachem Bar Yossi Omer Teitze, she has to leave her new husband unless Rav Menachem Bar Yossi qualifies and says, when does she have to leave the new husband? She has to leave the new husband only bizman shebo edim v'yachek achnisis. If the second pair of witnesses said, no, your husband's not dead, or no, your husband didn't divorce you, first came before she got married. So then we say, teitze, according to Rav Menachem Yossi. But even Rav Menachem Yossi agrees with the Tanakhama. If the two witnesses came and said, your husband's dead, and then she got married, and only then did the two witnesses come and say, no, your husband's alive, or the two witnesses came and said, your husband divorced you. She got married then. And then only after she got married did two other witnesses come and say, no, your husband never divorced you. If first she got married and only then came the other witnesses, then Rav Menachem Yossi says, lo teitze, I agree with the Tanakhama. Okay, now let's look at this case over here. Michte, what are we dealing with over here? It should be trei utrei ninu. There are two that say she's married, two that say she's not married. Either the husband died, didn't die. Husband divorced her, didn't divorce her. So how could anybody say Tanakhama or Rav Menachem Bar Yossi in the situation where she was nises v'achakach bo edim, he also says lo teitze in that situation. How can they possibly stay married? Because every time they're going to have relations, it should be a question of, is he having relations with an eishes ish? So at the least, habo aleh b'oshem tolikoi. At least there should be an oshem toli. Tosus points out it might even be a chatas. Again, we're not going to get into the specifics of why it should be an oshem toli versus a chatas, or possibly even a chiv mis if they're doing it b'meizit. So the bottom line is, at least it would be a chiv of an oshem toli. So how could anybody, the Tanakhama or Rav Menachem Bar Yossi, allow to stay married to this person when you have two witnesses saying that her husband's alive, but two witnesses saying that she's not a divorced woman? So Amar Sheshes, Rav Sheshes answers and he says, you know what we're dealing with over here? Kagon shenises le'echad mi'edeha. The only time you'd have to be concerned about an oshem toli is if you're not sure. But one of the witnesses who said, I saw your husband dead, or I saw your husband give you the divorce, he's vaday certain that she's a pnuya, so he has no issue with an oshem toloi or a chatos or anything else. He definitely says, you are a pnuya. So he has a vaday deya, na das, that she is a pnuya, so he has no problem. So that's where Rishesh's answers. Gemara says, well, okay, that's great for him. What about her? He goofed the oshem toli kaima. But how does she know? She's not the witness. So the witness, okay, he doesn't have a problem. But how does the wife know so 100% for certain that her husband is dead or that her husband divorced her? She's relying upon this witness. She doesn't have independent knowledge. So the Gemara says, yes, she does. Yomer is Bari Li. She says, I am also absolutely sure. How could she be absolutely sure? So Rashi says, in Dibur HaMasechta, Yomer is Bari Li, Ein Libi Nokfi. I have no doubts. I have no worries or concerns. Nebuch, that my husband is really dead in this situation, or that my husband really divorced me. Because if my husband was really dead, Shabarili, I'm 1,000% sure, Ilua Yakayim Hayaba, if my husband was alive, in the case where the husband is dead, the witness said, I know my husband, she says, he would absolutely contact me if he was still alive. There's no way he would not contact me. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say, just because she's saying her husband would definitely contact her, let's say her husband's in a coma and has amnesia someplace, or her husband's trapped in a jail someplace and can't get a message to her. How does that help to say that she's sure her husband would tell her if he was alive? Maybe he physically can't. So the other Rishonim say, no, she has absolute independent knowledge herself that her husband died. Let's say she saw her husband die. So the witnesses come along and say it, and that witness she now marries, so the witness is her husband, the new husband, so he's certain, and she's certain, so therefore there's no concern of an Asham Tom. Amar Yochanan, Yochanan says the following two statements, Shnayim Omrim Meis, if two men come along and say the woman's husband is dead, Ushnayim Omrim Lo Meis, two witnesses come along and say the husband's not dead, Harei Zulo Sinose, just like the Braisa, so Rav Yochanan says the woman is not allowed to marry L'chadchila. However, V'minis says if she did get married, she's allowed to stay married to him, Lo Teitze. Similarly, Shnayim Omrim Niskarsha, but if two witnesses come along and say the husband divorced her, and another two witnesses say he didn't, Shnayim Omrim Lo Niskarsha, Harei Zulo Sinose, then she's not allowed to also get married L'chadchila. But here, V'minis says, by the divorce case, Rav Yochanan says, Teitze, she's not allowed to stay married to him. So you have the obvious contradiction over here, if you wish, that in the case where the witnesses argue about whether he died or not, so if she got married, she's allowed to stay married. But if the witnesses argue about whether she's divorced or not, so then if she got married, she has to leave her husband. So the obvious question is, Maishno Reisha, Maishno Seifa. Why should there be two different dinim over here? Why did Rav Yochanan say that she doesn't have to leave her husband, the new husband, if the witnesses are arguing about whether her first husband died or not? Then she shouldn't get married L'chachila, but if she did, she can stay with him. But if the two witnesses arguing about two witnesses say her husband divorced, the two witnesses say her husband didn't divorce her, she shouldn't get married. And if she did get married, she has to leave her new husband. Why is there a difference between the Reish and the Sefer? So we're going to give three terutz into this. The first one is from Abaye. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Targumo b'eid echad. We're dealing over here now with two witnesses. We're dealing with one witness that says that her husband died, and one witness says that her husband is alive. Or one witness said that her husband gave her a divorce, and one witness said her husband didn't give her a divorce. So, when the first witness comes and he says, Eid Echad Omer Meis, so it's only one witness, but the rabbis treated that one witness, Himnu Rabbanon Kibetre. We've already learned previously, Mishum Iguna, and whole Sechta Yavamos that dealt with this quite a bit. So Mishum Iguna, because of the concern that the woman will be left in Aguna and won't be able to marry, so because of the principle of Daiko Minzava, she'll check it out so well, so the rabbis allowed us to believe even one witness, even hearsay evidence, even from a non-kosher witness, that the husband had passed away. Himnuok Rabbanon Kibetre, and that person is believed as if he's now two witnesses. So therefore, this goes in accord with what Ula said, Uchidu Ula, Diomar Ula, when the Torah gave permissibility to a single witness, such as in this case, so then we treat it as if there are two witnesses here. And now, now when the other witness comes along and says, no, your husband is not dead, he's only a das yachad, he's only an eid echad, havli chad, and therefore ein varishal echad, he's only a single witness, and he has zero weight, but Malcolm Stein, even though the first guy was only one guy, but we treat him as two guys. So in the case where one witness says the husband died, and one witness says the husband didn't die, since the one who said the husband died came first, he's treated like two, and therefore Abaye says it's two against one in Halacha, and therefore we allow her, not L'chadchila to get married, but if she did get married, we don't force her to get divorced. Mor says, Ihachi, afu L'chadchila nami. So then why not L'chadchila? If it's two against one, why can't she get married L'chadchila? So here we bring down a very interesting idea, Mishum de Ravasi. Tosa says, Ravasi is just quoting a pasuk, but Ravasi always said this pasuk, that's why it says Mishum de Ravasi, and not just Mishum de Kra. Mishum de Ravasi, the Omer Ravasi, because Ravasi said the following, a very important pasuk for Mishle. Haser mimcha ikshus pe ulezus tzvasayim hacheik mimecha. Person should always go and remove him from himself as far as possible any questions as to his integrity, any questions as to his ethical status. As Rashi elsewhere tells us, Lo sase dover, don't do anything, shial izu bo habrios, the people will talk about you, v'yakimu alecha piem, and they'll turn, they'll slant your words. In other words, don't do something that's going to cause other people to look at you askance and say, wow, really? I can't believe he did that. So therefore, yes, you could have gotten married l'chachila, but there is a guy that says your husband's alive. So therefore, don't get married l'chachila. That's teretz number one to explain the reconciliation between Rabbi Yochanan's statement that under the death case, the wife can stay married to the new husband, but in the divorce case, the wife cannot stay married to the new husband. So that explains why, in the first case, we believe the single witness who says that the woman is in fact a widow, and once we accept his testimony is two, so therefore the second witness comes along and says the husband's still alive, isn't accepted. Fine. But we only do that with the evidence, as we just said. What about the Sefer, the case of the divorce? If we're saying it's one man says that she's divorced, one man says that she's not divorced, why over there do we say that if she does in fact get married, the same din doesn't apply, she's allowed to stay married, but there we say if she does in fact get married, teitzei. So the Sefer is Eidech HaRomer Niskarsha, V'Eidech HaRomer Lo Niskarsha. Each of them is testifying differently, but in one way they're testifying together. So one witness says that she's a divorced woman, but that means she was once married. The other witness says she's not a divorced woman, that means that she's married. So Tarvayu, both of them are in fact saying that she was or is the Eishes Ish Komisadi. So they're both testifying that this woman was certainly at one time a married woman. And therefore, Vahai Dekamen is Garsha. So now the one that says that she is divorced, he's one person saying that she's divorced against two that are saying that she's married. So despite the fact that he's saying, yes, she was married, but she's divorced now, so we view those two parts of his testimony in separate status. So you have two witnesses saying that she's married and only one witness that says that she's no longer married. So therefore, in this situation, even if she did get married to the second husband, she has to leave him. That's the understanding that Abaye has of Rav Yochanan, the two statements. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is from Rava. Rava, ma'ar liolam trei utreininu. No, no, we're not dealing with one witness. We're dealing with two witnesses saying that the husband died, two witnesses saying the husband alive, two witnesses saying the husband divorced her, two witnesses saying the husband didn't divorce her. So what's the difference between the two cases? B'ra'a Rabbi Yochanan d'varusha Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi beget rishin. However, v'lo ra'a b'misa. Remember, Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi said it depended when she got married. If she got married before the witnesses came, even Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi said that we allow her to stay married. But if she got married after the witnesses came, Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi said that she's forced to get divorced from a new husband. So, in this situation, Rabbi Yochanan says, I hold like Rabbi Nachman bar Yossi in regards to a gerushin, but not in regards to the death situation, the misa situation. And why is that, my timer? Because misa, eni yichol mechashto. You know what happens? The woman is believed over here, in the case of the misa, that she can stay married with her new husband, because bottom line is, if her old husband comes back, there's no way to get around that. So therefore, we have to assume she was daiko minseva. She really checked it out. And therefore, once she got married, she shouldn't have gotten married lechachila, because the two witnesses say that she wasn't entitled to get married. But once she got married, in fact, we allow her to stay married, because there's no way around it. If her husband does come back, she'll have to leave this new husband, and all the penalties that we talked about occur. However, gerushin, the woman might not have checked it out so well, because she says, even if my husband comes back, I'll just deny that we're still married. I'll say he divorced me. I'll say to his face that he divorced me. So by gerushin, it's not as much of an automatic, you're out of the game if her husband comes back. If her husband comes back from the dead, from the case where they said that the husband passed away, so then how can she say, well, he didn't pass away? He's right there in front of them, so she has no time whatsoever. So therefore, in that situation, we let her stay married if she went and got married. However, in the case of the gerushin, even if her husband comes back, she could say, well, yeah, but he divorced me. So she would say right to his face that you divorced me. And therefore, in that situation, we have to be concerned that she is going to deny his being her husband no matter what. And therefore, in this situation, we say teitzei no matter what. But there weren't questions. Would she really have the chutzpah to go up to her husband and say, you divorced me, when he didn't? Umi chatzifa kuli hai? Would a woman be so chutzpahdik to say to her husband that he divorced her if he really didn't? Because we do have a principle that Rav Hamnuna had stated, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ha'isha shomer levalo gerash tani nemenes. If a woman goes up to her husband and says, you divorced me, so we actually believe the woman in this situation, because there's a chazaka, and isha me'iza panea mitmei bala. No woman would be so chutzpahdik as to go up to her husband and say, you divorced me, if he didn't really have divorced her. So therefore, in this situation, we should believe the woman, because no woman would be so chutzpahdik to tell her husband that you divorced me if he didn't divorce her. So what's the concern over here? Why don't we say, according to Rav Yochanan, that even if she did get married, she's allowed to stay married, because even if her husband comes back, if she goes up to him and says, you divorced me, no woman would be so chutzpahdik to do so if it wasn't true. Where he says, no, here it's different. Hani Mili, when did Rav Amnuna say his din that a woman would be so chutzbedik? Hechad aleka edim, when there were no witnesses to come asayale that go and support her claim. So here in our situation, hechad ikra edim to come asayale meiza or meiza, when you have no witnesses. So the woman is just saying to her husband, you divorced me, so nobody would be so chutzpidik to do that without witnesses. But in our case, where she does have two witnesses that say that the husband divorced her, so that will make her brazen. That will make her even go up to him and say, you divorced me, when he really didn't. Because now she got married to somebody else. She doesn't want to be in such service that she can't live with her new husband, can't live with her old husband, and therefore she's going to be brazen and me'iza or me'iza. She's going to go and be chutzpidik right to his face, because she has witnesses to support her, and therefore she would do this, even though in normal circumstances a woman wouldn't be so chutzpedik. That's teretz number two from Rav. Final teretz is from Rav Asi. Rav Asi Omar, Kigon, the Omri Edim, you know what we're dealing over here, where the Edim say, Akshov Meis. Right now he died. He didn't die 3 months ago. He didn't die a year ago. We just saw him dead last week, or Akshov Gershi. He just divorced her last week. Now, Misa Lekal Avrura. In regards to the Misa, there's no way to prove it, because as Rashi points out in this situation, Lekal Avrura, he says, Imamu Tova B'mayim, if they claim he just drowned and they don't have the body, or Chuari, or lying native, they don't have the body. Ain't Anu Yecholim Levarer Hadvarim, there's no way to go and prove it, because Nebuch, the body's gone. Hilkoch Lechachila Lo Sinase, but V'imnises Lo Teitse. Therefore, in this situation, don't get married to the Chachila, because you have two witnesses that saying that you're not really a widow. But bottom line is, since we're never going to have the body over here, it's either eaten by a lion or it's drowned, etc. So then, if b'di'evid, you got married, you're allowed to go and stay married to the new husband. But by gerushin, if you're telling me achshav gerusha, ikal avrura, it could easily be verified. Because you go tell the woman, the amrina loch, tell this woman, you got divorced 3 days ago. Prove it. Give us your get. Im Isa, if this really happened, the Hachi Haba, 3 days ago, just now, he divorced you. Achse loch lon gitech. Show us your get. And if you can't show us the get, it's very hard to say that you lost the get a day after you got it. And therefore, in that situation, if you don't have a get, and you got married when you weren't supposed to, because there are two witnesses saying that you didn't get divorced, so then, in this situation, Tetze, she has to go out. So those are the three reconciliations, if you wish, of the seemingly contradictory statements that Rav Yochanan made between two witnesses who say that the husband's divorced versus the two witnesses who said that the husband died, and then the two witnesses in each situation that negated them. Tana Rabban, we have another braisa, Shnayim Omniskacha. There are two witnesses say that a woman was receiving kiddushin. She got the first stage of marriage. But two others say no, Ushnayim Omniskacha. So, Harezu Lo Sinose. So she's not going to get married to another man. Of course she'll get married to this man, because worst comes to worst, it'll be the first kiddushin. If it's not the first kiddushin, so then they'll just go straight to nisuin. So she can't get married to another man. Harezu Lo Sinose. But the Imni says, if she did get married to another man, we don't force him to get divorced from her. Lo Teitze. Again, shouldn't have done this, but you do have two people that said that she's not a married woman, she's a penuya. And since her chazaka beforehand was that she was a penuya, so then if she got married with the Evid, we don't make her leave the new husband. Bryce continues and says, Shnayim omen is karsha, Shnayim omen is karsha. But if you have two witnesses that say the woman was divorced and two witnesses say the woman was not divorced, again here, harezu lo sinase, she shouldn't go and get married to Chachila. But here, if she did get married, b'di'evev, b'mnisei teitzeh, she has to go leave her husband, just like we just said before for Rav Yochanan. We turn to Chof Gimel ben Aleph. And we ask the same question that we asked with Rav Yochanan, even though these are two different questions here, but the same thing, maishto reishto, maishto seifa. Why in the case of the kiddushin do we say that if she got married, we don't make her leave her husband? And in the case of the gerushin, we say if she got married, we do have to leave the new husband. So again, we're going to give several tirutzim over here. The first one, again, is from Abaye. Amar Abaye tells us, Tirgumah b'edechad. Again, we're saying over here, just like Abaye said before, we're dealing over here with a single witness. It's not two against two. So by the Kiddushin, why is it different than by the Gerushin? By the Kiddushin, Edechad Omer Niskacho, one witness says that this woman is married now. The Edechad Omer Lo Niskacho, the other witness says that the woman is not married. But what are they both saying? They're both saying, Tarvayu Bifnuya Komisade, that certainly at this point in time, before the Kiddushin, they're both testifying that she's a Pnuya. So you have two witnesses essentially testifying that she's a Pnuya. And now one comes along and says she's not a Pnuya, That single witness comes along and says that she's no longer a Pnuya. He's only one witness. Just like we said before, same thing applies over here. That the one witness who says she's now betrothed, so he can't go and negate himself and the other witness that says that she's a Pnuya. Oh, so that explains by the Kiddushin case why Bid the Evid, if she got married, Lo Teitzeh. New Sefer by case of the Gerushin, same idea. One says she's divorced, one says she's not divorced, but they're both essentially testifying that she once was married. And therefore, you have two people saying, two witnesses saying that she is a married woman, and now one comes along and says she's divorced. He's only a single one. Same thing like we said before, that in this situation, two against one, so therefore we retain the status of she being a married woman, and if she got married to somebody else, Tetz, she has to go out. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two is from Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Liolam, Trey. No, we're dealing over here with two witnesses. In the first part, so two witnesses say that she accepted Kiddushin, two witnesses say she didn't accept Kiddushin. Second part, two witnesses say she is divorced, two witnesses say she's not divorced. But we flip it around, the epoch, we flip around the two halachos. So he says, in regards to the Kiddushin, it's Teitzeh. And in regards to the divorce, then we say Lo Teitzeh. Why is that? Because Shnayim Omrim Reinua Shediskacha. Because in the first situation, the two witnesses come along and say, we saw this woman get Kiddushin. And the other two say, we didn't see the Kiddushin. Shnayim Omrim Lo Reinua Kiddushin Shediskacha. No, we didn't see the Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Hare Zulo Sinas, say she's not allowed to get married, Vimni says Teitze. And if she did get married, she has to leave because you have two definitive witnesses saying that she was married. The other two said that we didn't see the Kiddushin, so maybe they missed it. You have two witnesses that say that she accepted Kiddushin. So both Lechatchila and Bid Yavid, she's not allowed to go and get married to another man. And if she did get married to another man, she has to leave him. Gemara says, Pshita, this is so obvious. If you're telling me, Lo Reinua, Ain't a raya. If you're telling me that the fact that they didn't see her get married, that's no proof. It's very hard to prove something from a negative. I didn't see something, so therefore it didn't occur. Well, it means that you didn't see it. But how do you know it didn't occur? So if this is what Rav Ashi is teaching us, so then that wouldn't be a raya. If it's just two saying that we saw her get married, the other two saying, well, we didn't see her get married. They're not saying that she's not married. They're just saying they didn't see her get married. So then that would be pshita. That can't be it. So you're right. So Rav Ashi says as follows, Tzricha. We're dealing over here, the Dairei Bechotzer Echad. They all live together in one small little courtyard. And Mao Detema, I might have said, Im Iso Diniskacho, if this woman in fact did get married, the whole world would know about it. Kolo Isla Lemilso. Everybody knows everybody else's business in this small little courtyard. And therefore, when two people say that she got married, and two other people come along and say, no, she did not get married, so then you can take that to the bank, and you can definitely say that there are two people here that didn't hear about it. That means that there was no such marriage, at least according to those two people. So what the Gemara is coming to teach us is that that's not true. Kamash Balon, no. Sometimes, even in a small little courtyard, the Adi Inish, the Bekachi Betzina, no, they had a very, very low-key wedding. There was very, very few people that were invited. They didn't want the whole world to know. They couldn't invite the whole courtyard, so they had a very private little affair. And therefore, if two people say that she's married, the fact that two other people in the courtyard say there's no way, we didn't hear about it, that doesn't carry any weight. And that's why Apok, you have to flip it around. And the first case, two people said she got married, two people said she didn't get married, you have to say that she's married, and therefore if she did get married, even b'di'evet, she has to leave her husband. Now, the Sefer with the Gerushin case, Shnayim Omrim Re'inua Sh'niskarsha, V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Re'inua Sh'niskarsha. Again, the same thing. Two people said we saw her get divorced, two people said they didn't see her get divorced. Harezu Lo Sinasi, she shouldn't get married, L'Chachila. But V'Mnisis Lo Teitzeh, here she doesn't have to leave her husband, she got married, according to the Epoch. My Kamash, well, what's the Chiddush over here? Because Afal Gav, the Dairei B'Chotzerechot, even though they're living in the same courtyard, so you're going to tell me the Chiddush is that not everybody else, everybody else's business, even in small courtyards, and Hanuach, then it's the same as the Reisha. Why did he need to give us two cases? So Gemara says, no. Mal de Tema, I might have thought. Gabe Kiddushin, in regards to a wedding, Kiddushin, in that situation, who, the Avide, Inche, the Makachi Vitzina, people will get married sometimes in a very private little ceremony. Abu Gabi Gerushin, in regards to a divorce, that's juicy stuff. The whole world's going to know about that. And Isa Diskasha, if in fact, they were divorced, Kala Isla Lemilsa. There's nobody that wouldn't know about that. And therefore, I might have said that if the two witnesses come along and say that she didn't get divorced, we actually would listen to them. Kamash Malam, the Chiddush is, Davidi Inche de Makache, Udimagar Shibitzina. No, there are some people that do things in a very quiet way, both for marriage and for divorce. And therefore, there's no raya when two witnesses come along and say that there was no divorce. There's no raya that there is no divorce. And therefore, when two people say that she's divorced, so bid the eved, we allow her to stay married. Lo teitzei if she got married to somebody else, because chances are she really did get divorced, even though the other two witnesses didn't hear about it. When it comes to the marriage, so the same idea applies, that just because you didn't hear about it doesn't mean it didn't occur, and therefore we have to have the default position that she still is married, even b'di'evet, and therefore teitzei. And that's the epoch over here that Rav Ashi brings to the fore. This is a break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.